Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, and welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, sans Brian Myers. He's the second week, Ron.
Yes.
He's ditched us. Last time he was in North Carolina. This time, I just know he's busy with work because for those of our listeners who aren't aware, I actually do some work for him from time to time, very part-time.
Mm-hmm.
This week didn't feel like it. One of my coworkers, his wife's expecting, so he can't really travel out of state. So the original schedule had me going to different stores, and basically his company services Menards stores, different lines. I was driving St. Joe, Missouri, down to Topeka, Kansas, then staying the night in Wichita, coming, servicing a store in Wichita, going up to Salina, Kansas, and then over to Manhattan, Kansas, then driving from Manhattan to Grand Island, Nebraska.
Oh, my goodness.
Which, that's an interesting drive.
Yeah, I imagine.
I thought I'd been in the sticks before. No, not until I did that drive. Then over to from Grand Island and the Kearney, and then I was supposed to go up to Minnesota then.
Oh, wow.
Brian ended up waving that off. So, you know, I just, as you come home, instead of spending a third night on the road, as you come home, hit some stores in Lincoln and Omaha and then back home, which actually with the weather, I was very thankful. I didn't
have
to drive up to Minnesota. But I was in Salina, Kansas, grabbing some lunch, and this sub shop, can't remember the name of it, walk in there, and I'm like heading to the bathroom because I just drove from Wichita. Mm-hmm. So it was about an hour and a half. And the lady working there yelled across the room at me, "Make sure you turn off the bathroom light when you leave." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, you know, she's like, sir, what? I didn't register she was talking to me. I'm like, "Turn off the light when you leave the bathroom." I'm like, apparently this is a real problem, Ron.
Wow.
I've never had an employee at a restaurant, you know. I'm surprised she didn't tell me. It's like, and make sure you put down the lid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was a little uncomfortable. So I had to share it on the radio.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, we have a special guest, and he's like, hopefully we're not talking about stuff like this. Tim Challies, who's been on our show before. He is, Tim, would you say you're like the original blog father for the Christian blogosphere?
I'm not so sure. I'm nervous about what I've got myself into now with all the bathroom stories.
No bathroom stories this point forward.
All right.
You've been blogging since 2002, right?
Yeah, something like that. It's been a haul.
You're probably one of the first.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so, it was definitely in the first wave.
So we'll call you the Christian blog father.
There you go.
Okay.
I've been called worse.
You've been called worse. So you've done that. You started Challies.com in 2002, and you've been blogging daily since 2003. You're one of the, I consider myself kind of a prolific blogger, but you actually put me to shame, I think.
Well, if we're going to compare.
Yeah, well, you know, and I seem like a kid compared to you. I started in 2006. So you also serve as an elder at Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, Ontario. Now, yep. Is that a staff position, or is that just a lay elder?
That is just a lay elder at this point. I was on staff there for 5 years.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you also do book reviews. He's a co-founder of Cruciform Press, and you've written 5 books, which is something I've never done. So, wow. I'd love to pick your brain about the writing process, too. Do you just pull together stuff that you've blogged on before, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, what I tend to do is just let ideas out there and just kind of see which ones resonate, and those will often then become books. So something like visual theology, I just put, started doing some infographics, and people really seemed to dig them, so thought, oh, maybe I can make a book out of this. And something like the book on productivity, it was just a series I made, and it seemed to go well, so thought, well, maybe I can slap a couple covers on it, and that'll get it a little wider distribution, so
cool.
That way.
Awesome. So you've been studying, one of the things we've been wanting to do at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, we get inundated talking about politics, but we want to talk about, we want to drill down more on some theological topics. And you've been studying the fifth commandment, which is, of course, honoring your father and mother. And I'd just like to, I guess the first question I want to ask you is, what prompted you to study that particular commandment?
I think it really came out of being in a very multicultural church, actually, and just seeing how different people in our church are honoring or perhaps not honoring their parents. And a lot of it came down to particular issues within the church where people are struggling with issues related to their parents. And then I was trying to answer them in a way that would be culturally sensitive, and I realized that they're seeing the world through a very different lens than I am. And so I wanted to be able to account for their culture, not to give them a very white, middle-class Canadian kind of answer where they are from a different part of the world, maybe
right.
just one generation removed. And that just led me to search out how different people in different cultures relate to their parents, and from there realizing that I don't think my culture does that very well.
So what are some things that you've learned?
Well, that was near the top there. That,
okay.
I don't think we do it very well. So
all right.
this idea,
so what have you had to unlearn, I guess?
Yeah, yeah, that's just it. That I think the mindset in people, you know, I'm 40, so my parents were boomers. And I think the mindset was that older people should work as short a time as they can in order to accumulate wealth. And then as soon as they've got their wealth, they can really start to live. And then we kind of leave them alone. They're supposed to take care of themselves in their retirement. They're supposed to become fully independent from us, and we're fully independent from them. And if our parents aren't able to do that, then it's a sign of their failing. Whereas in the rest of the world, pretty well the rest of the world anyways, there's this expectation that parents raise children, and children later in life become responsible for the parents to care for them. And, of course, you see that biblically, too, where
right.
there are multi-generational families rather than every generation living on its own.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, you don't see that too often anymore. I mean, my parents had my grandmother in their house for, gosh, probably close to 10 years before she had cancer for a number of years and finally passed away from that. But that was something that, I mean, that's something you don't really see that much of anymore. It seems like, at least in our culture.
Right. Yeah, I see a lot of it here in Toronto where I live because it's a very, there's a lot of immigration into Canada. And so I see Muslim families and Hindu families taking very good care of their elderly parents, while Christian families just can't wait for their parents to move into a retirement home so they can be done with them.
Yeah, yeah, well, as my kids joke, it's like, well, we might let you stay in the shed in our backyard, you know,
right.
so.
Right, and you know, it's not that our parents out there are hurting to be welcomed into our homes. Parents want to be independent as much as we want them to be independent.
That's true.
Right? It works both ways. But there is something, that's not the only manifestation of honoring parents, of course, is to take them in, but that was really where the series ended up, that we have to so love our parents and so honor our parents that we're willing to do the hardest things for them and to count it as joy.
Right. So that being kind of one of the, I guess, ultimate expressions as we get older, because I think sometimes as an adult child to a parent, you don't have to obey them, but what does this honoring looks like? What are some other components to this?
Right. And so very much with children, of course, children have to obey their parents
right.
when they're young.
Right.
As parents get old, yes, we move on from having to obey them, though even that culturally may not be the case. There may be times where it is right to obey your parents, and that might be especially in cultures that are more tribal.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say honoring your parents as an adult might look like forgiving them, just not harboring bitterness, because every parent is just half the parent they wanted to be and just is so aware of their own failings.
Right.
Speak well of your parents. There's this culture in the West where we disparage our parents, you know, the Grandpa Simpson kind of thing where we look at elderly people and mock them and laugh at them, where we esteem our parents publicly, privately. We're sure to speak well of them to one another. We're sure to speak well of them to their faces, to honor them. Tim Keller talks about just the deep desire parents have to see themselves and their children. So to go to your parents and say, you taught me this and it's made me who I am, that's deeply honoring the parents, to seek their wisdom, to let them know you'll never let them be alone, that when they're weak, when they need help, you'll be there for them. There's all these different ways that we can show honor to them.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't have to be very difficult. I mean, you start small just by...
Yeah,
you know, my dad had a recent episode where he was in the hospital. I spent time with him in the hospital. I made sure there were things that he couldn't do after being released, making sure I was there to help him out doing that. You know, things like that. But you know, also pointing out and recognizing the wisdom that you've learned from your parents. And I don't know, I can't remember exactly how old I was at the time, but then it suddenly dawned on me that while my parents were not perfect, obviously, it's like maybe, you know, they weren't as dumb as I thought they were when I was a teenager. And it's like, wow. And then I'm recognizing I'm saying some things my parents used to say, you know. But, all, you know, I guess acknowledging that with them and letting them know, hey, you know, I have learned a number of things from you, and right. I thank you because I am who I am because of your parenting.
Yeah, I think there can be that sort of one time, Mom and Dad, I'm really sorry because I thought I knew how to raise me better than you did. And, you know, we don't hold it against our kids. Our kids know that they could do a better job of raising themselves than we could. They're convinced of that, and someday they'll realize the folly of it. But that's okay. We don't hold it against them. But, very much to honor our parents by just affirming what they did well and thanking them for what they did well. And I do think there's something important about just saying, you made me in this way. You shaped me in this way. And that's helped make me who I am. I think that's what parents really long to hear, that they have had that deep impact.
Great. Well, and that's, I think that's challenging for us to hear, and I hope our listeners, you know, put this into practice. Well, shifting gears a little bit, you've also been studying things that God hates. Now, I'm assuming this is based off Proverbs 6?
Actually, it's not. It's based off a study of concepts that God says he either hates or despises, or that are an abomination to him. So Proverbs 6, of course, has seven, six of those things, even seven, and from there the seven deadly sins. But there are actually about 40 things in the Bible, 40 times God says, I hate this, referring to kind of sin or sinner. And so I just collected all of those and broke them down into eight categories.
And they are?
The categories are, let me just pull that out, that is idolatry. God hates idolatry, he hates sexual immorality, he hates injustice, he hates hypocrisy and deceit and pride and evil thoughts and wicked people.
And the thought that God hates, so I think runs in opposition to what our culture believes in their view of God. It's like, oh, he's a loving God. And they reject any time where we point out, hey, you know, God hates sin. And and God is, yes, God's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath.
Yeah.
So some insights as you were studying that as it relates to our culture?
Yeah, I think that is a conundrum, and we hate to think of a God who hates. And yet, would we want a God who is ambivalent toward what's evil? If God loves people, shouldn't God hate what harms those people? Wouldn't that be the ultimate expression of his love, is to then have revulsion towards things that harm people? And even more so then, when we understand who God is, mustn't God then feel revulsion toward people who harm him, people who disparage him? So we wouldn't really want a God who doesn't hate. We wouldn't want a God who either loves what's evil or a God who's just ambivalent towards it. We love a God who hates what's hateful, who hates what's truly revolting.
Right. Now, just looking at the Proverbs 6 passage, you know, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood.
Yep.
And we just, over Sunday, we had the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and I'm just thinking, you know, how God hates the Holocaust of abortion.
Right.
You know, heart that devises wicked plans. But, you know, I'm thinking, haughty eyes, what, I wonder what that means. What?
Yeah. Well, I just spent the whole morning writing about that, since that's I'm going to be launching that article tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Actually. I'll look for it. You go to Challies.com to look to find that, right?
There you go, yeah. And that idea of haughty eyes, you know, just those eyes, you can imagine it. It's such a vivid picture, right? Just those proud eyes looking around at different people and looking from this position of elevating. I've elevated myself so I can look down on you. I put a pedestal under my feet so I'm higher than you. Now my haughty eyes are standing in judgment of you. And then a little bit later in Proverbs, it's the same thing of the heart, the haughty heart. So both of them, the proud eyes and the proud heart, are these deep manifestations, first of rebellion against God and then of hatred toward other people.
Yeah, this is good. I'm going to look forward to that article. Are you going to be doing a series then as you've learned these different things, or how?
Yeah, I'm about six articles into the series.
Okay.
Six of eight. So I've just got a couple left, and then it'll be wrapped up, and I'll move on to something else.
All right, sounds good. Make sure you check out Challies.com for that series, as well as some of the other things that you do. And you do a lot of book reviews and I also like the a la carte posts too, where you link to different things you found on the internet.
Yeah,
you usually do that on Fridays, don't you?
I do a la carte every morning.
Every morning,
then,
okay.
I do something I call final call sometimes now later in the afternoon, which is similar, but usually a little bit more length, a little more explanation.
Great. Well, Tim, I appreciate you coming on. This has been a good study. Again, check out Challies.com. It's a favorite read of mine. Obviously, I need to. It's been a little while. I need to check out this series myself. So, thanks, Tim, for coming on. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
I'd be remiss not to spell our previous guest's last name for you. I've been telling you, go to Challies.com, but if you don't know how to spell Challies, that's going to be kind of hard to do. So Challies is spelled C-H-A-L-L-I-E-S. That's Challies, C-H-A-L-L-I-E-S.com. I encourage you to go there. He is the original Christian blog father. He's been 2002 is ancient history for the blogosphere. I've been doing this since 2006, and I told him I feel like a child compared to you. And you know, I've been called a prolific blogger, but he puts me to shame. He really does, and he's a wonderful blogger. I haven't checked it out recently, just because I've had a lot going on, so I've not been reading as much as I'd like to, but it definitely is one thing I have. If you still use RSS feed reader like I do, Feedly, it's one of the, you know, one of the ones I do check fairly frequently. So go to caffeinatethoughts.com, but also bookmark Challies.com. It's a good site. We got in studio with us a special guest. He's been on the show before, Tim Overland, Executive Director of Personhood Iowa. And you want to talk about the Iowa Prayer for Life 2017.
I do. It sounds like it's the morning of Tim's, huh? So is that the prerequisite Tim's. To get on today?
There's this video out there. It's like this guy's name is Tim's. Not Tim, but it's Tim's.
I've seen things like that about people named Todd and things like that. It's kind of funny. But
sure.
We want to talk about the Iowa Prayer for Life. We're partnering with a national group that I've gone to their national convention the last couple of years called Bringing America Back to Life.
Okay.
We called our event we held a year or so ago called Bringing the Church Back to Life. So you might be able to pick up on a theme here.
Mm-hmm.
We believe we need to be more engaged in that fight. On the grassroots level as well as the church. So we haven't had a Prayer for Life event in Iowa for 3 years.
Okay.
I think last time we were on, we talked about sometimes us in the pro-life world haven't gotten along all that well, and there's a new spirit of unity permeating the state.
You know, I'm just thinking this may be one of the reasons why there wasn't, focus on prayer. Maybe that would have helped.
just
a thought.
Hey, good thinking. Well, when we figure out when we put that first and the issue first, that a lot of times these things start coming back together.
So. Right. So it's going to be when?
Be February 7th for the grassroots. We actually have another event February 6th, the night before.
Okay.
And that's going to be for church leaders. I suppose that could be anybody, but church leaders and elected officials. And that doesn't just mean House and Senate. If you've got a school board member or city council person, that's kind of the training ground of these elected officials as they start figuring out if they want to do this forever.
Right.
We need to vet them and make sure they're hearing this message.
I kind of actually like fewer elected officials thinking they're going to do this forever.
I would prefer that.
Yeah.
But we need to check out their worldview, especially a school board, somebody who has control over our kids. We really need to make sure they're right on this issue, in my opinion.
So. Definitely. Well, yeah, as much control school boards have in Iowa anymore. But that's a whole totally different
subject. Don't get me started. I read your story to my wife last night as a teacher, and we changed that subject really quickly. And so anyway, I digress. But the event at the Capitol on February 6th at 4 o'clock is a dessert reception. So I figure that'll get plenty. So we'll have some homemade or Hy-Vee made treats, some coffee and punch or something. And figure that's a good way to get pastors and elected officials there is just give them free food. So,
right. Yeah. Well, it worked for me when I was youth pastor.
And I don't know how long it'll go because you know how much fellowshipping goes on when you get some bunch of pastors together and a bunch of legislators together. So we might be there for quite some time.
Possibly.
At least till the treats run out.
Yeah. So and it's like, oh, free food's gone.
The only thing we're asking is, we're not asking. We're saying you have to be in the Capitol before 5 o'clock because they will not let you in. We start at 4. There's no set program per se. We're going to be introducing folks to the ministries that are working and partnering on this. But the security won't let you in after 5.
Okay.
So come whenever you'd like before 5.
All right. Sounds good. So then on the 7th, then you got a whole list of activities.
Whole day full of stuff. On the 7th, we're going to start off the day at the Capitol. In room 19, which is right down on the ground floor, straight back by the stairs. And we're going to start that off with prayer. We're going to have 3 church leaders, kind of topical prayers on the life issue. So we'll start that off. We'll have a little, I don't like using the word training, but I guess that's, a little guidance maybe on how to go, pull your legislators out of the chambers. It's, there's a little bit of a process. It's very simple.
Right.
But we want to walk people through that, and then we want to just take people and kind of guide them to do that. One of the groups we're partnering with is the Family Leaders, so they're up there all the time, and they have pastors up there, and they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kind of let them take the lead on this, and that's a day they'll have pastors up there as well. So we'll be taking people around, asking them to pray with their legislators, meet some others maybe as well and pray for them, but then also share some of our priorities that we're getting behind.
Now, I just want to, encourage people when they talk about laying hands on a legislature, that really means to pray, okay, nothing else.
Yes,
so don't take liberties with that.
Especially Brad's on, but we love Brad, but yes, absolutely. Good observation.
So, okay, then later on you're going to have a lunch and then a program at First Church of the Open Bible.
Yep, and we'll move. So we'll have another room at the Capitol to be set aside for individual prayer if people want to, but then we'll move over to First Church. Free lunch. So
I'm there.
Yeah, see, more food. I know. I know what the trigger is. The only thing that we ask is, and the deadline's just a few days away, so on Tuesday is my deadline. I have to order the food by. So if you please RSVP by Tuesday.
And RSVP to who?
If you just go on to bringingamericabacktolifeiowa.org, or if you go onto our Facebook page.
Or is it .com or .org? The paper
does it say .com?
It says .com.
I believe it's .org, so that might be a typo. But or if you go to facebook.com/Iowa Prayer for Life, it will get you there as well.
Okay.
You just need to have you – there's a link to the RSVP or to an Eventbrite page where you can RSVP. And it's going to be a pretty good lunch. There will be a free will offering at the end if you so desire. But the program is going to be phenomenal. We're going to talk about – we've got these ministries that have been meeting for over a year together.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this whole thing is and some of the things that are going on at the Capitol is to introduce to pastors ministries that have stepped in and I believe doing the work of the church and that I believe the church should support, but then also letting these elected officials know government shouldn't be doing these things. We can do this, and here okay. are these people that are already in place to do this. So tell
us a little bit about the speakers.
Speakers, Jason Jones from Movie to Movement. Last time you had me in, we talked about the Voiceless movie. He was mm-hmm. one of the guys behind that. Bella, most people have heard of.
Okay.
Another phenomenal one, and I throw this out there from time to time that most people haven't heard of. There's a 15-minute short called Crescendo. Mm-hmm. Go watch that online. Jason Jones is part of that as well. It's beautiful. It's phenomenal. It's a real short deal. It is got subtitles. It's shot in Germany, but okay. it's phenomenal. And then a lot of people have heard of Abby Jones.
Yeah.
Abby Johnson, I'm sorry. Jason yeah. Jones, Abby Johnson. Her ministry, and then there were none, which is a phenomenal ministry that pulls people that are in the abortion industry out and helps them find more work, gives them some healing and that type of thing. Her personal assistant, I found out later, but there's another speaker from her organization will be here as well. So we're going to be talking about a couple of different perspectives, I think, than what most folks are used to, maybe
in
a normal, quote-unquote, normal pro-life speaker.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I appreciate about both of these ministries, well, with Jason, you know, we as Christians, oftentimes we look at ministry opportunities, we think, you know, foreign missions or mm-hmm. your typical church type ministries, but really, I remember this book called Roaring Lambs by, I think it's Bob Brenner, is his name. He's passed away a while ago, but calling the church into infiltrate culture and music and mm-hmm. art and movies and so you know this is that what Jason's doing, and I don't know if he's coming from a faith-based perspective or not, but what he's doing is that's the type of thing I think we as Christ followers should be doing more of mm-hmm. and with quality and excellence, but then too the ministry to people involved in the abortion industry, talk about going to where people are at.
Well, we try to dehumanize them, right?
Right.
That's one of the things we say.
I think it's easy to do.
Sure. Absolutely it is. We see them, and they're arguing with us, right? They're angry, wearing pink T-shirts, and those are evil people. Well, they're people. They're fallen.
And they're created in the image of God, just like you and I.
Yep.
And they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Abby Johnson's a perfect example of that. So, yeah, absolutely. Jason Jones is such a fun person to be around, and you need to hear his testimony. It'll bring tissue, or we'll have some on hand. I mean, it's a phenomenal story. I don't know Megan's as well.
Okay.
I know Jason, but what a testimony and why he does what he does. It's not just he decided to do it.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. Again, that website to RSVP is bringingamericabacktolifeiowa.org.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, try .com. Somebody who's really savvy should have reserved both and just had it.
Might have happened anyway.
That'd be good. That way you can use either one. It's interchangeable and it'll get to the right website.
Yep.
But be sure you RSVP for that lunch because I know having done events, it's always good to know how many people you actually are going to end up feeding so you don't overbuy.
Or underbuy.
And
let me say, even if you don't make it to RSVP by Tuesday, please still come. I just can't promise you all the lunch.
So good deal. And again, this is sponsored by American or Airport Holiday Inn, Concerned Women for America, Iowa Right to Life, Iowans for Life, Lutheran Family Service, Lutherans for Life, Personhood Iowa, Restored by Grace, the Family Leader Foundation, True Life of North Iowa. So looking forward to that. So there's also been some other things happening at the State House, too.
Really?
Were you part of that subcommittee meeting? I think I was in Kansas at the time that happened, so I missed it.
If you've seen any pictures, sadly, it's hard for me to hide in pictures. So if there's any pictures of the room, I generally stick out. So, yes, I was there.
Okay. So tell me your perspective of the subcommittee meeting on Senate File 2.
Well, you know, I tell you what. One, kudos to Senator Amy Sinclair. She is feeling major heat. You know, her phone number is not a secret, but it's not, you know, they're not throwing them out there. It was thrown out there by Planned Parenthood of the Heartland and their allies. And so she's just been getting blasted. So one of the things I want to say in case we run out of time and we don't forget is Amy Sinclair, Jason Schultz, Brad Zahn, all of those guys that are up there leading on this right now, they're getting hammered with hate mail. So it would be phenomenal if you could just take a minute to send an encouraging email to them. What we're asking people to do is, you know, maybe throw thank you in the subject line. But then some of these organizations that have been working together, we came up with a hashtag called She's a Baby.
Yeah.
And we're just having ask you to throw that into the subject line so they, until that gets co-opted, at least they know it's an encouraging email that's coming, so they have, because they're probably filtering most of this stuff out. I mean, I've heard, we're talking about into the thousands of emails, and it's pretty nasty stuff, so, as you might imagine. But so the hearing.
Having never been on, receiving end of hate mail, I wouldn't know what that's like at all.
You might know a little. but as far as the hearing went, you know, we kind of knew what was going to happen, right? We knew where Amy Sinclair's coming from. We know where Jason Schultz is. We know where Janet Peterson's coming from.
Right.
So we knew how it was going to go, probably. There was some issues. We were actually looking for a room the day before so we could kind of prep our people to talk, you know, and just get them ready. Because when we found out it was only a half-hour hearing, we thought, well, we're only going to have two or three people get a chance to talk. Let's make sure they're prepared. It came about that room, that hearing room, became available the night before. So we just reserved that room. We were supposed to have it from 10:30 to 11:30 right up till the hearing started. The 400 or 500 people in pink showed up and disregarded that. So by the time we went up to have this meeting room, it was full already. So that didn't go as smooth as we'd like. But I think the people that spoke, for the most part, did a good job, especially without having that prep time under some pretty, you know, conditions that people aren't used to being in.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey, thanks, Tim, for coming on. RSVP at bringingamericabacktolifeiowa.com for the Iowa Prayer for Life event, the lunch and the program. Be sure to show up at the Capitol at 8:30 for the events there on February 7th. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call, 515-292-7141, or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
Feel that love. Okay. We'll build the wall.
We need to build a wall. A big, beautiful wall. Build a wall.
We're going to build a wall. We need a wall.
We're going to build a wall. And build a wall. 2,000 years ago, China built the Great Wall. Built a wall. Build a wall. Build a wall. Build the wall. Build the wall. Build a wall. Building a wall. We're going to build a wall. Nobody said that before. Build the wall. We're going to build the wall. It's going to be a big, fat, beautiful wall. We're going to build that wall. We're going to have the wall. We're going to have the wall. We need the wall. The wall. Has anyone ever heard about the wall?
And the wall just got 10 feet taller.
Okay. I think we need a wall. Do you think we need a wall? We got
to
get a
Somebody
wall.
Somebody seems to think we do.
Yeah. Well, lots of news this week about the wall. The Washington Post, congressional Republican leader said Thursday that they plan to move forward with legislation to provide $12 billion to $15 billion to pay for the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. But it's still unclear who will end up footing the bill for the gigantic construction along the 2,000-mile border, U.S. taxpayers or, in some form, Mexico. Trump and his aides insisted throughout a confusing day that Mexico would ultimately pay for the wall, though, they said, reforms to the U.S. tax code. But Republicans were confused about whether such change would be considered a tariff or a tax. By the way, a tariff is a tax.
Tax.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't really matter what word you use. Many do not support a tariff. Lawmakers are also concerned that without such changes, there is no way to offset or make up elsewhere the costs of the enormous structure. Border security, yes. Tariffs, no. Mexico is the third largest trading partner. Any tariff we can levy, they can levy. Huge barrier to econ growth, Senator Lindsey Graham wrote on Twitter late Thursday. He added, simply put, any policy proposal which drives up costs of Corona, tequila, or margaritas is a big-time bad idea. Mucho sad. Mucho sad. I was thinking, things I buy from Mexico. Vanilla?
Oh, yes. That's always good.
Really, when you think about it, somebody mentioned fruits and vegetables, especially in the wintertime.
Probably not as much anymore, though.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of those probably still come from Texas and California.
Probably some South
Florida.
America stuff, too.
Yeah. So there's probably some. Obviously I'm being facetious, so there's probably imports I'm not even thinking of that we use. So basically, another story out of Business Insider. Trump floated idea of a 20% border tax, so he's calling it a tax, on Mexican goods. Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary for President Donald Trump, told reporters on Thursday that the administration is pushing for a 20% border tax on Mexican imports. When you look at the plan that's taking shape now, using comprehensive tax reform as a means to tax imports from countries that we have a trade deficit from, like Mexico, Spicer said, according to a White House pool report. Spicer said the border tax would be part of a broader tax reform package and would help pay for the proposed wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, according to the report. Mexico, obviously, is freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are freaking out. Some of this, and this is, a lot of people think that this ideas like this gets floated so that anything that comes after it looks really reasonable, which is a negotiation tactic.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, but obviously they've got Mexico's attention. So we'll see. Right now, with a budget deficit, we can't afford $12 billion to $15 billion to build a wall. Frankly, border security I'm in favor of. I'm not entirely sure we need a 2,000-mile-long wall. I think we need walls and fencing in strategic areas, and then electronic monitoring and border patrol. It's a whole host of things that I think need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The wall itself, you could have a wall, and if it's not properly guarded, people will still be able to cross over or tunnel under. So anyway, there's a lot more to it than just a wall. We certainly can't afford that much. He signed executive order ordering money start to be diverted to that. I first questioned the constitutionality of that because Congress support, you know, the ones who do the above the appropriations for things like that. However, apparently, under the Bush administration, law was passed allocating money for that, and money has never been spent on it.
Oh wow!
During the Obama years,
yeah, they were talking earlier this week about some fence law or whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So anyway, so apparently he's just basically enforcing the law that was passed that wasn't enforced during the Obama administration. So that I think is an appropriate use of executive power. I'm not a fan of executive orders. So far, most of what his orders are doing are undoing what President Obama has done by executive order, which I think that's fine. And he's doing with things that are within the parameters of the executive power, I think. So he's not, you know, it's not unconstitutional from what I've seen so far. Another story, taking it back home here, the Des Moines Register. Our favorite birdcage lining. they've like declared war on homeschooling. They just put up an editorial this week, I think, or maybe it was last week. Homeschooling free for all jeopardizes youth. So they've been on a tear since 2013 when the independent private instruction was passed. But they wrote basically teachers who regularly see and talk to students may have concerns. Something is wrong at home. Yet, thanks to state lawmakers, no school employee or medical professional may ever lay eyes on some Iowa children. Recent news stories, like the death of Natalie Finn, raising concerns about the safety of some homeschooled children, are yet another reminder that legislators should revisit a 2013 change they made to state law. Provision included a larger education reform package signed into law by Governor Terry Branstad, allowed homeschooled children to simply disappear for the purposes of education. At the very least, lawmakers should amend the law and require parents to notify a school district if a child is being homeschooled. So-called independent private instruction gives parents unprecedented permission to keep their own children. Duh! Why do they need permission?
they're yeah.
It's not the state's child.
That's true. Absolutely true.
Sorry to yell in your ear.
No worries.
But that infuriates me.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of statist nincompoops over in the Des Moines. I can't even. That just made me so bad. Basically, they said every homeschooler is a potential child abuser.
Yep.
Shame on them. They are not getting a cent of my money ever again. And I hope homeschoolers will reject this. And I hope any Christ follower will reject this and realize parents are the ones responsible for the children, not the state. And there's nothing special about teachers. God bless them. But they don't have any special wisdom over the needs of our children than a parent does.
Absolutely.
And the fact is, you know how many cases there have been of child abuse in Iowa with homeschooling families? Two. Let's talk about the sex abuse cases in schools. But I don't see Des Moines Register publishing articles about that. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and I'll take a chill pill or a break. New York to L.A. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning. Baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, down home, American Kids.
Mommy, my tummy hurts. Can I stay home from school? You know she's not sick, and she loves school. You discover that she is afraid of a classmate. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Bullying is on schools' radars, and much is being done to combat it. But it's hard to stop all people from being mean. Sadly, some do not even realize the impact that their having fun at the expense of others can have. Truth is that bullying happens to people of all ages in a variety of environments, but the potential impact is similar. Distrust of people, fear, and even bitterness can develop, thus contributing to possible relationship problems. The Bible helps us remove bitterness, overcome fears, and provides directives for healthy relationships. If you are facing a bullying situation, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, LLC, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077. I just, instead of doing the, you can't make this stuff up, I'm sorry. This is second, you know, week in a row. We're kind of bypassing it. But I wanted to continue to discuss what's going on with homeschooling in Iowa in regards to, you know, Des Moines Register. This is obviously in response to approving of a bill that State Senator Matt McCoy put forward requiring, I believe, a quarterly visit by the school district to homeschooling families. As a result of the Natalie Finn death, which is tragic, shouldn't have happened. Let's put responsibility where it belongs. Department of Human Services had received numerous complaints.
Yeah.
Why was she still in the home? And also, Senator McCoy, you've got to understand, likes going to confidential briefings and leaking stuff to the press. And you don't get all the facts. Like, for instance, she's not homeschooled her entire life. She's from the foster care system. They had received, DHS had received complaints before she was homeschooled with this family. How about the after receiving complaints and then getting pulled from, you know, school, that didn't raise a red flag for anybody? Let's be clear here. She was not pulled out of school to homeschool. So calling this family a homeschooling family, no. The Network of Iowa Christian Home Educators put out a response to this, and they brought up some interesting points here. They pointed to Congress in 2012 authorized the creation of the Commission to Eliminate Child Abuse and Neglect Fatalities, which was composed of top experts in the field. They held meetings and hearings spanning several years. They issued their final report, and they said the commission's top recommendation to the nation's policymakers was identify children and families most at risk of maltreatment fatality. The report listed numerous risk factors, Nitch wrote. Homeschooling was never listed as a risk factor, nor was it even mentioned in the report. Rather, the commission identified a number of key risk factors associated with child abuse or neglect fatalities, including these. A prior report that social services is a single strongest predictor of a child's potential risk of injury death. A child reported to CP Child Protective Services had about a 2.5 times greater risk of any injury death. Children reported for neglect had a significantly higher risk of an unintentional injury death. Children with prior CPS report of physical abuse had an almost 6 times greater risk of death from an intentional injury. They highlighted specific localities that successfully reduced child abuse and neglect fatalities, like Hillsborough County in Florida, as well as trying to fast forward here. There was another location too, but the report, they put a link to the report. Policymakers in the Iowa Senate and Iowa House can read this for themselves. I'd encourage Senator McCoy, if he actually wants to educate himself instead of just emoting about stuff, he could actually, you know, get informed and find out what will actually help prevent. All this bill that he suggests is going to do is trample the education liberty rights of parents. That's all it's going to do. It's going to put us all under a microscope that's unwarranted, unneeded. It is a infringement and government overreach to something that we've never seen. It's mandating home visits
yep.
for people who have not done anything to deserve that other than desire to educate their child at home. It's ridiculous. We should be outraged. If you're not outraged, I think something's wrong with you about this, frankly. Anyway, I'll continue to take chill pills. Maybe I'll be a lot more chillax next week. But this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week, everybody. Take care.